Hey guys, welcome back to another edition of Turner Talks.
In thickness and in health with your host, Bailey Turner.
And Zach Turner.
And in today's episode, we will be chatting with two of our favorite people, Kelly and Chris Vogel, about all things parenthood, marriage, and business. So without further ado, let's get started. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. Can you guys tell us a little bit more about you so that our followers can get to know you guys a little bit better?
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thanks guys.
Of course.
I am Kelly, as Bailey said, and my husband, Chris. We live in Columbus, Ohio, high school sweethearts. We've been together for 12 years now?
Something like that.
Long time. Got a baby, doggo, kitties at home. And I started off on Instagram, more on the fitness side, competed in bodybuilding, have a YouTube channel, all like fitness lifestyle related. And then we actually started a candy company together, Worth It Candy. Not healthy, but delicious and worth it.
Nice. Yeah, do you guys want to...
It's a very good candy.
It's so good. And do you guys want to tell us like the reasoning behind why you named it Worth It? And then like what kind of candy you guys offer?
Yeah, so I'll start with the reasoning behind it because, well, my husband is obsessed with candy. That's mainly his portion of the candy company. Yep. As I said, I competed in bodybuilding competitions, which... If you know what they are or have ever competed in one, you have to live a very restrictive lifestyle. And I did not like that. It made me have a really bad relationship with food and really emphasized how important it was for me to have balance in my diet and not restrict the things that I love, which is candy and full calorie foods and being able to treat yourself. And that actually allowed me to have a better relationship with food, even a better physique, because I didn't binge. So that was my passion. And like I said, Chris is obsessed with candy.
The guy has been at our house for what? Four days?
4 days.
And we got them a goodie bag or basket of candy. And I think he's already eaten.
It was gone 2 days ago.
It was gone 2 days in.
Yeah, I restocked yesterday at the gas station.
And he's also had a 44-ounce soda every single day here.
Well, I knew going into this trip that he loved his sweets, but every time like we're out and about, he doesn't make us stop, but I can tell he wants to stop. So we had to get gas one night. He went into the convenience store and, of course, grabbed candy. And this is kind of on a tangent, but Utah's known for their dirty sodas, and every time we're out and about, he needs to stop.
Chris, do you want a soda? He's like, I was hoping you'd ask.
I don't want to force your hand, but I was hoping you'd say that.
Yeah. That's how we were when we first moved here, too.
Yeah. So now we're hoping to open one up in Columbus.
That's a long term.
If we don't just move to Utah.
Yeah. So just a little background on my love for candy. In my college days, I used to close down Raising Cane's. I worked in the kitchen. And on my break, I would run across the street to Speedway. I'd buy $10, $12, $15 worth of candy and scarf it during the closing shift.
This is like pre-inflation time, so $10,
$15
candy is a lot of candy.
That's a lot of candy.
Yeah.
Like 3,000 calories worth, probably.
Something like that, yeah. And it was like this, I'm talking 4 to 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And also with the soda in college, Kelly can attest to this, I would buy a 12-pack of Dr. Pepper full-calorie Dr. Pepper.
I love this every man, 3 days. It was disgusting to watch.
But he didn't even gain a pound, I bet.
No, he didn't.
How? I look at it and gain a pound.
Like, Chris isn't small, but he is definitely a lot smaller than you'd expect for someone that has such a love for sweets and sugar. So
I was blessed. My parents, my mom's family specifically, they're sticks. So I was blessed with that genetics on that side.
Metabolisms ever.
Yes. What Kelly said, we believe you deserve to treat yourself. Moderation is key, but you shouldn't restrict anything. And that's the thing I try not to restrict is candy.
Mm. Everything in moderation. Exactly. I think that applies to everything in life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you're too rigid in anything, you tend to binge and do things even if you shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So
I kind of want to use that to like segue into this. I just want to, if you're okay with it, like, kind of get into like what products you offer now and if you're okay with the like stuff you guys have in the pipeline, if it's not too early to talk about that. If it's too...
When is this going live?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay, so...
So this is Wednesday, May 3rd. So it's going live Thursday morning, May 4th. May the 4th.
So you don't need to be specific because I know if you don't want to give away anything or maybe you can
give away... You can tell what you told the subscribers, but not the other one. They can have exclusive subscriber access.
Oh boy. Podcast exclusive. Oh boy. Yeah.
Okay. So to answer, to start, right now we offer three basic candies. It's essentially the same candy, but in three different sizes. So we have our original chews, which is it's a hard candy shell with a soft center. Think of Skittles.
Mento.
It's like a Mento slash Skittle mix, I would
say. It's a sweet, fruity, tart, fruit-like chew.
Yep.
With a hard shell.
Those are the original chews.
It's like the Mento size, like I said. And then we have two other ones. We have the mini chews, which, hard to describe. It's like the size of like maybe half a Skittle. It's really good, easy to just pop in, throw in. Or if you want to join one by one, easy enough to do that too. And then we have the Tinies.
My favorite.
A lot of people's favorite.
See, I'm on the opposite. I love the big ones.
Me too.
See, I love the Tinies because they're like little nerds, but they're chewy.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how I describe them. They're nerds. The big ones
because they get a lot of flavor with each chew.
Yes. So. It's funny. The first time we sent you guys candy, Bailey was reviewing it on camera, and Zach's in the back with the bag of the big chews, just not participating, just eating them.
I was so mad. Like, he literally, because you guys sent us samples before it launched. And I was like, okay, we need to savor these because they're not launching for a while. And Kelly told me, like, we will not be able to get bags for a while. So please do not eat a whole bag in one sitting. He eats a whole bag in one sitting. He did. Then I hid the other two bags because he ate the big bag. And I had the other two bags because you guys had very limited samples.
We had very limited
samples. And I hid them in our pantry. And I was like, he's never going to find them. And I'm pretty sure he did. Well, every time he ate the other bag.
Every time we've received them from you guys, they're gone within like 2 days. Every bag of the big ones are gone.
Yeah, and we always, like, give them to family, too. Like, if they're here, we have them try it. Or, like, our friends, kids. Because we're like, do you love candy? They're like, yes.
We appreciate you.
We do. It's, you know, we love the candy, obviously. And we have it every day. But it's really, I mean, it really is good to hear from other people. And that's, like, my favorite thing is getting DMs. Like, we really enjoy this. Like, better than Skittles. Like, That's a big compliment.
We're not trying to be your only candy. Yeah. We're trying to add to your other favorites.
I love that.
Yeah.
Because who likes just one
candy? You get burnt out on one thing. You need options.
Like, literally, you were talking about earlier, this week I've had the big chewy nerds, or the nerds clusters. Have you guys had those?
So good. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
They're like nerds ropes, but then the little bites.
Yeah. So a variety is key as well, but we just want to be part of that, essentially.
Yeah, so we have the originals. And then we have some other flavors in the works.
So the original, the flavors are green apple. This all, it has five flavors that come in one, just as a variety. Green apple, strawberry, lemon, orange, and blueberry.
Mm-hmm.
Great pair.
Yeah.
We do have two new things coming.
Ooh.
We are finalizing like the artwork for the bags. And once that's done, we are ready to go. So hopefully in the next few weeks and then months, you know, once it gets made and once we get it in ready to go, should we say it?
Yeah.
So that's what we haven't announced this to anyone yet, except our subscribers, who you can subscribe to buy candy at a discount and it gets delivered to your door every month. So we told them, we sent them an email just to, you know, give them a heads up. But Sour is on the way.
Yes.
Sour is on the way. We're not going to get into the details because there's differences.
There's options.
Yes.
There's options.
It's not just regular sour.
Nope, there's options.
There's a couple of new things, but sour is on the way. We're super excited for it. And the other product.
Totally different.
Totally different. But off the wall.
Possibly better.
Possibly better. Kelly's really excited about
it. So excited.
We're going to keep that one a secret for a while.
Yeah. I'm pumped for both.
Yeah.
I'm
excited to know. And. Not have to be anticipatory.
We've been trying to help them with like packaging on some other new things, but obviously they can't share that yet. But
and not helping them in the sense of like, you guys know what you're doing, but helping in the sense of, all right, you gave us options, we'll give you our opinion on what's
best. Yeah. For sure.
That's the extent of Worth It Candy as of right now.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have a lot of business questions, but I do want to segue into the next business question. Then we'll kind of get into like marriage, parenthood, that kind of stuff. So the business question that we did receive is just, how do we stay patient when we're starting a new business when you know, it's hard. It's really hard to start a new business and not know how it's going to do. And then kind of work through the hurdles of, you know, COVID and, you know, not having as many orders as you thought you would or something like that. I feel like every business kind of struggles with that. You have high hopes and sometimes it just doesn't live up to those high hopes. So if you guys want to touch on that.
Yeah, I can start talking about Worth a little bit. Incredible question, because, I mean, to answer, like, patience, that should be the answer. But how do you have patience? It's complicated. It's so hard.
You have to trust yourself.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You do. And yeah.
You have to have confidence in yourself and confidence that you are going to make mistakes, mm-hmm. and that is okay. You're going to learn from them. But you have to have a lot of confidence in yourself and believe in your product, mm-hmm. and know that it might take a little bit of time, but you just got to keep chugging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think you need to play the long game, because if you're just looking to have like the biggest launch ever, mm-hmm. and you play that short one launch, like no planning of the future game, then that's where you are going to struggle, and you're going to set these high expectations, and then you might not receive the feedback that you were hoping for, and then you're just disappointed, and you're like, do we quit? Do we give up? Like,
well, that's another thing that I don't think people think about, because you're like, oh, I want to be so successful. Yes, you want to make money. You want your product to do well. You know, all the things. But growing too fast is also a huge limiting factor. Mm-hmm. Scaling a business properly is also something that we were very cautious about in the beginning, because we didn't want to oversell and then have all these eyes on our brand and nothing available.
Yeah.
And so there's problems on both end of it. And balancing that, the only way you figure out what's right is by just trying it. Yeah, mm-hmm. trial and error.
And make mistakes, because we made plenty mm-hmm. at the beginning. We did exactly what you said.
We did the same mistakes, I feel mm-hmm. like. And granted, they're two different businesses, Candy and then our thick mm-hmm. fitness equipment business. But we made the same mistakes that you guys did, because personally, we were coming from a place of no one likes when people sell out.
FOMO.
Exactly. The whole, like you FOMO can't build up such a launch and then sell out in 5 minutes, because it is really frustrating. I've been on the other end of that, where you're so excited to buy this new product and it sells out in 2 minutes and you're like, I've saved so much money for this, or I've been saving for a while for this and I've set alarms, I'm missing out on work for this just to participate in this launch that sells out in 2 minutes. It's beyond frustrating.
Yeah. So that was something we kind of shot ourselves in the foot, if I'm being honest, because we wanted to avoid that at all costs. Because mm-hmm. I've been on the other end of that too. And from like a purchasing standpoint and an influencer standpoint, mm-hmm. nothing made me more upset than like getting people excited about something I genuinely loved. And then I'm like, I'm so sorry. I have no control over that.
Yeah.
This 100%. We had control over, mm-hmm. the product.
Exactly.
So we took it slow, too slow.
it's great we didn't sell out, but at the same time, it's also...
Sorry, that's our dog making its bed. Ignore that. I thought it was like thunder for a second.
No, our dog has this habit of just scratching
the floor. Scratching the crap out of
it. We're sorry if you're hearing that. Hopefully he'll be done any minute here.
Yeah. Here's also a great little just insert here. We've had to restart 4 times because we have two
babies.
A 5-month-old and a 10-month-old baby.
Make sure that they're in bed and happy and content. Yes,
full bellies and clean diapers and are good to go for the night.
That goes back to patience.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's great.
Which patience, I think, to just like segue off that again, is like a learned skill, I feel like.
Absolutely.
Like, you have to like... be tried enough times to be mm-hmm. you know, put in situations where you have to be patient in order to become patient.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's tough.
Yeah. And like and obviously any like small business owner, you want that immediate success, but you got to understand you're not going to be Amazon or Walmart overnight.
Well, no,
and that's not the goal most of the time, obviously. Mm-hmm. But you know, we all want to be successful in our own mm-hmm. right. And the other thing too is like, the goal is to make money, obviously. Like, you want to be able to support yourself, support your family, and live a comfortable lifestyle. But it has to be an adventure that you absolutely love. Something that you would... And this sounds really cliche, but something that you'd be doing even if you didn't make a dime off of it.
That's... Mm-hmm. Bailey and I have gone on walks because we're in Utah, and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the things we've been talking about. I'm like...
Chris and I have been on walks, too.
Business-wise, from the fitness side, I know I could have scaled my business more. I could have grown faster. But it would have been in a way that I didn't want to do or wasn't comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't have enjoyed it. And therefore, that's not worth it to me. So,
boom.
Boom. I mean, we've had a lot of learning curves, as does any business. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of definitely like self-checks on like, okay, no, still believe in ourselves. We got this. All the feedback we've gotten has been amazing. And you just...
I mean, we had a moment... not even 6 months ago where we had to have a conversation. Do we really want to keep doing this?
Mm-hmm. Because it was taking a toll on you.
It was taking a toll on me. Yeah. I mean, we have a young baby who struggled to sleep, cried a lot.
Which we will be getting to.
And yeah, it's you have to look at yourself in the mirror and figure out like exactly what you said, Zach. What makes you happy? Would you be willing to do this to not make a dime?
Mm. For sure.
If it's going to make you happy?
Mm-hmm.
Or should I go back to the corporate world and struggle?
Work for someone else.
Work for someone else.
Yeah. And I think the fact that we both started these businesses during COVID, so like with our fitness equipment business and then your guys' candy business, during COVID was a whole other level of struggle.
We paid...
insane.
We paid just as much for the shipping as we did for the candy itself, because it's just bad timing. There was nothing we could have done. We wanted to bring the candy out, and that's how it happened.
Ports were backed up too, so you had to wait months. So delayed. Like, I think we were set to launch in August, but we didn't end up launching till December because things just kept getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. And it's really frustrating when you pay so much for shipping. You guys know, like, we paid pretty much the same amount. Mm-hmm. And when it's worth almost more than your actual product. And then to hype up something and be like, hey, we're launching at this time, and then having to push it back and push it back. Mm-hmm. You're like, crap, I feel really bad. But it's out of your control. Yeah. But it just makes you less excited for the actual launch. It makes you nervous because you're like, am I letting people down?
Yeah.
And maybe I'm helping this person with this question. How do you stay patient? Full transparency, Worth of Candy has not made a dime in profit yet. We're a year and a half plus into this business.
Mm-hmm.
Not a dime has been transferred from our business account to our account.
Everything's going straight
Everything's
back,
going
into,
back
it.
Into it, paying the bills.
Because we're trying to grow.
So yeah. So, I mean, be patient.
Mm-hmm.
And same trust with us. Pay off. Like, we don't make hardly any money from our fitness equipment. We try to keep the prices as low as possible. Mm-hmm. We have to include the shipping, obviously, that it takes.
Plus, we lose money on every shipment.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because we want to keep it affordable.
And you want to do free shipping for bigger orders and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And we try to make our prices as low as possible. And right now, we have just so much inventory because, you know, we overbought just like you guys did.
Same thing.
And you just want to make sure that you're giving your customers the best value.
Absolutely.
Even though you're not going to be making much from it. Like, we'd rather help other people with our fitness challenges than make money off of these products. Because we know that people aren't going to buy, 20 products from our website. Once they have one band, they don't need another one. Mm-hmm. And we get that. We don't want to keep trying to come out with new bands and making people buy new bands. I want you to be satisfied with the one you have and love it and use it forever.
Enjoy using it.
Exactly.
So this actually is kind of crazy. We are very similar. Like, obviously it's candy versus fitness equipment, but we both have the fitness side that's kind of the main. And then we have like our side hustles that will hopefully continue to grow and flourish.
Yeah. And Zach and I still aren't sure like what we want to do in the future for this, because we know that there's other brands out there. We know, like, we're not trying to be any different than anybody else. We're of course trying to be like more affordable than anybody else, but still provide good quality. But we don't want to feel like we have to keep coming out with like new patterns and stuff like that. Yeah. So we're trying to still brainstorm on how we still, you know, offer these kind of things, but I don't know, provide even more value to our customers without feeling like we have to keep adding a bunch of random products to our site.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a struggle that we've been facing, but we'll get there.
Yeah, owning a business, it's never stagnant.
No.
There's always new challenges being thrown your way. It's amazing, but the amount of stress that it brings, and if I feel like if you don't know how to handle stress well, it can consume you.
Mm-hmm.
And you doubt
yourself. It's like debilitating.
It is debilitating. And that's what you see these... I mean, this is another reason I would never want to grow too fast, because you see these people who are insanely well off and they're miserable. Mm-hmm. I would never want to be like that.
For sure. That was great. I love that. So I think the next few questions are going to be all about parenthood and marriage and just kind of how we've adjusted because we're both new parents and they had their baby last June and we had Marlo in December. So I think we're going to go into those. So how has your guys' marriage changed since becoming parents?
As of now, it has definitely become a lot stronger because once again, patience, communication. Chris mentioned Emerson was definitely a very fussy baby, colicky, reflux, first 3 months. were really hard on our marriage. He was still in the corporate world. You came home around 3 months. Mm-hmm. And so he was not only coming home to us learning how to work together for the first time, a screaming baby all the time, mm-hmm. having to learn to find that confidence without someone else telling you you're doing a great job, find mm-hmm. that within, mm-hmm. and also try to run a startup. Yeah. Like you, mm-hmm. you got thrown into it.
Yeah. And it's like coming back, Worth It wasn't making enough money really to provide, like to be able to take home anything. So at the same time, we're balancing it. We need to keep working on it to grow, but we also need to make sure Kelly has plenty mm-hmm. of time to do her thing so she can honestly provide for the family. Mm-hmm. And that was a struggle for me, not being someone who could bring in money, mm-hmm. which I'm still struggling yeah. with, you know, 6 months later. Mm-hmm. It's tough that I don't have a paycheck coming in every week. I have to, hey, Kelly, we need some more money in our account. So that was a struggle. That took a little toll on our marriage. My mm-hmm. confidence was shot for a while.
Mm-hmm. And just being sleep deprived, not having any time for yourself, like learning a role as mom and dad, mm-hmm. totally different from anything else.
Yeah.
No matter how many people are honest with you about it, it still doesn't prepare you for what it's like.
No.
Yeah.
Especially there would be like, oh, there's going to be hard times, but like you get through it and you see them smile. It's great. That's true. But those hard times can be really rough. Hard. Yeah. And mm-hmm. then obviously when you're with, you guys are together 24/7 too, mm-hmm. you're obviously going to take it out on the person who's closest mm-hmm. to you. Not intentionally. It just happens.
Mm-hmm. When postpartum hormones are another story. Yeah.
Because of how she was, I had postpartum depression and rage, and that was, I felt guilty for that. And mm-hmm. so that was another thing. It was hard, but we had a lot of patience with each other on that and mm-hmm. weren't afraid to sit down and talk and what do you need and trial and error, trying to figure out like what schedule worked best because she's not in daycare. We have her home with us willingly. We want that. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Although it's been hard, I feel like we've grown a lot through it.
Yeah. Routines are always changing,
mm-hmm.
but because you are very much a person based on routine. You need yeah. it. You thrive on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been able to find a good one and kind of alter it as time goes, which yeah. has been the biggest help.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's the same thing as building muscle, right? You got to break it down.
To build it back up?
Yeah, our relationship get rocky, but from that comes strength.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Way to go, guy. We're doing great.
I know. It's my first podcast, guys.
No, you're
How
good.
How am I doing?
No, you're doing great. You're doing great.
Seriously, you're very well spoken.
Yeah, you're doing great.
Yeah, and I think as part of like the routine goes, like what goes hand in hand with that, I feel like, is you have to have some adaptability because 100%. With a young baby like that, they're not the same for very long.
No. And
they're learning so much and changing so often.
It's a fluid routine.
Yeah. Like it's like you get a routine down and you're like, dang, this has been like 2 weeks. We feel like we're in a groove. Yeah. And then it's like,
boom, something different.
New skill learned, mm-hmm. new stress,
new regression.
Baby's fussy. Yeah. Like things just change constantly. So you have to be like,
literally just when you think you figure them out, the next morning they'll wake up at 4 a.m. Like mm-hmm. they're like, oh, sleeping through the night. Nope, not mm-hmm. today.
Throws off the naps for the day, eating habits for the day. Yeah.
Which
I think rough. Knowing that there's going to be a lot that you aren't able to like predict coming mm-hmm. like down
that's
the line
biggest
from the baby
thing that's
is, like,
hard for me, I think, because I'm such a control freak, yeah. which is terrible. It's like my worst quality about myself. But
I think to go off that, I think Marlo has been great for you in the sense that you have to learn to relinquish control to a degree because you're hardly ever in control anymore.
Yeah.
She dictates
it's
so much
her,
of the day-to-day.
It's her schedule. Like, we're just... It's her world we're living in.
Quite a great point.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. I think that's the biggest blessing that you do get from having kids. It makes you a better person. Mm-hmm. It might take some time. You might have some really low lows, but you learn a lot about yourself and...
For sure. Like, the things that I
look at everything so differently after.
100%. I think the things that I used to worry about before and be anxious about and like stress out about, they're not even an afterthought anymore. Mm-hmm. Like I don't even think about them in the slightest. Yeah. It's more so about
they
her.
They are an afterthought.
They are an afterthought, yeah. sorry. And I think about her. My worries are more about her and like...
making sure her needs are taken care
of. Yeah, you see more, I feel like you see more big picture rather than the little
the
minute
little
day-to-day things that really...
Yeah,
that really doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, that's just like... I forget what I was going to say. Something about... What were we just talking about?
just like how our marriage has changed since having
that's the question.
Not sweating like the small stuff.
When you get married, like of course, like it's you want to think like, oh, the other person's needs come before yours, but at the end of the day, like they're an adult and they can, you know, damn well take care of themselves. But until you're like forced to like be put in a position where you have to be responsible for another tiny human being,
someone who can't do anything,
it puts you in a tough spot sometimes.
Well, yeah, because you're like, I just want to shower today. If I get that done, it's a great day.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kelly showed me, it was a TikTok of this new dad saying, and it's the most relatable thing I've heard in a long time. He said, how did I do so much today but not get anything done?
Like literally all day long, I was doing something all day yet got nothing done.
Yeah,
yeah. What we're talking
but about. It also makes you appreciate the little things you do day to day and what your partner does day to day, because even you taking, like, you feeding her a bottle allows me to take a shower, which I appreciate more now than ever.
Well, so. I feel like that, like, has some parallels to, like, being, like, a small business owner. It's like, you got to celebrate, like, the small victories.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like, you know, hey, it feels like we're constantly unloading the dishwasher and doing laundries and running the vacuum, but those are things that you can be proud of, because some days that's all you're going to get done.
Yeah, and at least it's getting done.
It's something that, you can go to bed at night knowing, hey, we did something today. But,
All right. What has been the biggest adjustment for you guys? Like, what has been the hardest adjustment or biggest adjustment since having Emerson?
That's a tough question. I feel like there's been a lot, obviously.
I think
I would say catering too, in terms of our relationship. I guess you could answer this a couple different ways, but in terms of our relationship, really like going out of your way to ask what the other person needs, how they're feeling, like checking in with the other person, because it's so easy to let things kind of just boil up inside you because you're like, he's already stressed. I don't want to add this to his plate, but like you're kind of suffering inside. You have to just be able to check in with each other. And I think that's been something we've gotten a lot better at.
Yeah, you have to make it a priority.
You have to make it a priority, or else I feel like you just get in so many stupid fights.
And that's something that we struggled with a lot.
Yeah.
Because I would hold everything in. And so, and Zach does this too. And then eventually it'd get to a breaking point where we both just like blow up at each other. Yeah. Like, you're not doing this, I'm doing this. Like, it would just be like kind of just bickering, arguing, fighting. And then it would just never really resolve.
Yeah.
And then it would happen again and again and again. And then, you know, finally, like, not that long ago, we sat down and we had this conversation, like, what can we do better that will help each other out?
Yep.
You know, like, how can I be better for you? How can you be better for me? And then how can we be better together for her?
That was the one piece of, I think I actually saw this when we were probably at, like, our lowest. I don't want to say it was awful, but, like, when we were struggling, was that, like, just viewing, knowing that you and your partner are on the same team, no matter what you're going through, like if he's not attending to her needs how I would attend to them, or if he's not doing whatever like I would, we still have the same goal. We're not working against each other. And that was like a very like aha moment for me. I'm like, okay, I can still get frustrated, but like at least knowing that we do have the same goal, I felt like took a lot of the pressure off.
I heard a couple pieces of advice, I think it was on TikTok again. I know.
I'm
on there too much.
There's good information on there.
Yeah.
Totally. It's just annoying.
There's one about marriage specifically for, you know, parents who have new kids or new parents. Starting off the day with just asking a simple question, like, what can I do for you today that would make your day easier? Like one simple thing. Starting with that. Starting off the day with that. So you can start off a good page and know, have like a plan of what the other person needs. Great idea. The other one was just a general marriage piece of advice, is another asking questions to your partner. What do you wish we talked about more? What do you wish we discussed more? What do you wish you asked me about more? To make it known that you are paying attention to their needs and you care about them.
Yeah. I feel like the other thing that is the biggest adjustment, which would be silly not to mention, is just the routine factor. Chris mentioned I'm a very routine oriented person, and I was just talking to Bailey about this, like even the simple task of editing a video, I'm constantly getting interrupted, whether that's having to go breastfeed her or Chris and I are switching off, or she just randomly gets fussy, whatever it is, just constantly like the flick of a light switch, like I'm working Kelly right now, okay, now I'm mom Kelly right now. Like,
which hat to wear.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
So getting into rhythm
is so hard.
Has been difficult.
Yeah, but you have to learn to just like, okay, this is my time to work. Go.
Yeah.
No distractions. Put the phone away. Mm-hmm. Work.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's been a big adjustment for us too, is like time management. Because before having Marlo, I feel like we were crap at time management.
After you have a kid, I feel like you realize how much time you waste.
Oh my gosh. I can get ready in like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like shower, do my makeup, everything. Okay. Probably under 15. But before then, I would take like an hour at least. Everything is just so much quicker when you
The time management thing too, like a big part of like, obviously all four of our lives is fitness. I realized how much time I wasted going to the gym, working out, coming back from the gym. So like the home gym especially has been a great blessing, because now it's like 45, 60 minutes done, whereas it's like 2 hours.
And we can bring Marlo out with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is nice. Okay. Next question is, how do we split roles around the house?
I was going to ask you guys about this anyways, but I waited to see if there was a question about it. This is a great question because we have had to establish roles, and I think it's a fantastic idea. I mean, it all is based on a routine. I mean, we have set times where we both go to the gym. When I go to the gym, I take Emmy with me to the gym. So Kelly can have her 2 hours-ish of free time to, because Emmy's not screaming in the house, she can film her videos and have some time even to clean. I've had to take big steps on laundry and the cleaning the floors, which...
We learned how to properly separate laundry, and now he does most of the laundry.
I do, I do.
Yeah. Round of applause for Christopher, everybody.
I do, I do the tidying, and Kelly does the cleaning, if that makes sense. But yeah, establishing roles was really important. You had to break down the stigma of moms keep the house, and you got to split
it up. No, it is a team effort.
Team effort.
I feel like 100%. That is the definition of being a parent. It's a team working against this tiny human who can't do anything for herself.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, the way we break down, like, household chores is...
Zach does laundry and dishes. Bless. Yeah.
And Bailey does all the cooking because
he
I
is
can't cook to save my life.
So good at doing laundry.
thank you.
If I do laundry, it sits in the dryer for like 4 days. Or it sits in the washer for four days. I always forget to like switch it.
This has happened where Bailey has either started bedding or laundry, and I'll like notice like my closet's just slowly getting depleted of clothes and I don't know where they're going. And it turns out Bailey has, you know, 3 laundry baskets in the laundry room that haven't been touched or they've been started.
It doesn't happen often though, because you've been the laundry guy for years.
No, it doesn't happen often, but when it does happen, I never finish it. Yeah.
Zach has like a routine to his laundry method. Like if I do one load, he's like, no, you didn't do it right. Like you didn't add this and this and this and put it on this cycle and dry it for this long and put Eco Dry on and blah, 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 blah. Like he has a whole method to the madness. Same with the dishwasher.
You don't keep Eco Dry on.
This is also.
Same with the dishwasher. He is so anal about how he loads the dishwasher. It has to be perfect.
Kelly is too.
I am too.
It has to be so perfect. And me and Chris are the same. We talked about this when they got here. I just like throw as much stuff as I can get in. Because
if it fits
it doesn't matter.
It can stay.
It's getting washed. Yeah. It's whatever.
This is a testament to Zach. Not an hour ago, when Kelly and I were putting Emmy to bed, she looks at me and says, does this motivate you to be a little bit more tidy around the house? Just talking, because Zach keeps a very clean house.
Thank you.
Very tidy.
I appreciate that.
And I
you
thought
are
I did
not
a good
the
job.
Tidier. Tidier. Yeah, tidier.
I clean up the kitchen every night.
Kelly specifically
okay,
mentioned
do you clean it to my standards every night? Be honest.
Okay, the things that drive Bailey
Zach does
is
not
that
like cleaning
wipe
the counters.
Every square inch of the counters.
He does a good job cleaning the sink, but he'll leave dishes on the dry mat until I say, can you please dry them and put them away? And then I'll say, can you please wipe down the counters? Because he knows my definition of a clean kitchen is nothing on the counters, counters wiped off, like clean.
But I feel like that's a fair trade if I wash all the dishes, which is
90% Zach, I'm cooking. I am putting her down. You can suck my butt. Like, I'm not. No, like, a clean, the definition of a clean kitchen for me is counters wiped, dishes away, it's clean.
So I guess we can just negate Kelly's compliment of me. It doesn't matter.
No. You do a great job, but sometimes you get a little lazy at the end. You go like 95%. I need that last little 5%.
Do better, Zach. Gosh, I can't believe you slack this much.
Because I want to give the dishes a chance to actually air dry. I don't want to rush them in that process. They need to air dry.
Okay, and then you also take out the trash, which I feel like that's always a guy's job.
Yeah, I don't know. I do everything out in the yard.
Yep.
Yep, Zach does yard work. Although I did help mow lawn last weekend, and I actually didn't mind it.
Yeah.
Because then Zach got to do trimming and leaf blowing or whatever.
Edging. But edging, yeah. I will say that you take care of like 70%, 70 to 80% of like all things Marlo.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Unless I need to do work, then you kind of deal with her. But.
Yeah. Kelly and I have a pretty even split. And it helps that Kelly and I operate differently. She is a morning person through and through. I've always been a night owl. Mm-hmm. I've had to learn the morning stuff because of Emmy. She
wakes up regardless.
She's an early waker. But I love it that I get to, we put Emmy down early. We get to have our time together. And then I can work after that. And I enjoy it. So it works. Mm-hmm. You know, it's find something that
Which
works.
I want to touch on too. Chris is a great father.
Oh.
I've noticed that he is very...
I feel like both of you guys are. Like, you guys both are very wonderful. Patient.
And that's not me saying that Kelly's a bad mother. But, like...
All right, compliment
Chris is,
us.
Chris is very involved. Like, he's very good, I would say, at being, like, proactive. Like, noticing, like, Kelly's,
hey,
like,
Kelly
touched out. Or, like, Kelly's been holding Emmy
She's
for a little too long.
She's very mom-only right now. So it's
Which is,
it's
been
hard.
A struggle. But, it is what it is. You can't change
it. Yeah, like... Kelly had to get a bunch of work done today, and Chris literally took Emmy outside, went on a walk with her, was playing with her, like literally everything to keep the baby busy. And Marlo is a very chill baby. Like she can lay on the ground and be fine, like for like at least 30 minutes before she starts kind of getting fussy. Emmy is like, she's starting to be active now.
Has never done that.
So she's like, I need to be like attended to at all times.
Just for reference, she's crawling, she's learning to walk right now. So what I'm sure if you have kids, you know, once they learn that they can go places, that's all they want to
They're
do.
Like, I don't want to sit still.
Like, what do you,
like,
I've,
no.
I've been here for 10 seconds. Let's get going. Yeah. So no, he is a great father. And I'm glad he was also hard. His confidence was down in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So.
I was very hard on myself too, because like, I feel like, and this might be me just like making this up because it's my like individual circumstances, but being a mother, I feel like comes very natural because you carry the baby for 9 months. You have like an immediate bond with her with like breastfeeding, if that's something that you choose to do. Whereas like with the father, like, yeah, it's your child, but there's nothing that you can immediately like have this bond with the baby for, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it takes guys months and months sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to be a dad.
Yeah.
I grew up in a big family. Mm-hmm. It's not like I did a bunch of research. It is crazy. And I want to hopefully provide some confidence to new fathers or expecting fathers. Not that you shouldn't do some research, but the instincts do come.
Yeah.
And it is surprising how clear sometimes these decisions are what you need to do. Just by it being instincts,
you learn by being around them.
Yeah, like Zach never had changed a diaper before, really. Yeah.
Well, I hadn't been around like babies. Like I don't have like younger siblings. My younger siblings are only 2 years younger, so I was a child, like a very young child myself.
Mm-hmm.
No younger cousins, so I was never around like young babies or like
never
infants.
Fed a baby a bottle, like none of that. Like had no experience at all. So obviously, it's like hard to just be like kind of
hardly held babies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like when it came to like holding Marlo, it felt natural, I guess.
He literally cried nonstop for probably at least 48 hours. It was the cutest thing. Like I've never seen you cry that much in your life. And it was
so. I don't know if I told the story on a podcast yet, but it's like Saturday morning. So Bailey gave birth to Marlo early Friday. It had to have been Saturday because it was Chick-fil-A. It wasn't Sunday.
Yeah.
So I ran to Chick-fil-A and. I'm listening to this song on the radio. It's I Saw God Today by George Strait. It's about him having the guy singing, having a little girl. And I'm crying the entire way to Chick-fil-A. I'm in the drive-thru and I'm crying. I'm like pulling up to the window. All right, I got to keep it together. And I'm just still crying. And I'm like, I hope that these people don't think that there's something wrong. Because the greatest thing ever just happened.
Oh,
but,
oh my gosh. Yeah. Every time I always listen to country and the song about how the first time you ever scared me was when, like when I heard your heartbeat, I start bawling almost immediately.
Lady by Brett Young, right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Every time.
I know that song
Babies,
is so sweet.
They really pull on those heartstrings.
Yeah, I wasn't a big crier. I teared up, but then Emmy started crying and she really didn't stop for a while. So we didn't have too much time to cry.
She took care of all the crying.
Yeah.
Crying
for the both of you.
Pure frustration.
Yeah.
Not knowing what to do.
And
that's happened.
I didn't cry right away either. Like when Marla was born and she was like crying, I didn't cry. But then it's like, honestly, like later that afternoon, it's like,
oh, it's like we both cried. You. We yeah. both cried though as soon as we heard her voice. When she was crying, when
yeah,
she,
I guess that's
when
true.
She was pulled out, we both looked at each other. We're just like, that's a baby. Like, holy crap. Like, it's yeah. finally here. Like, the day is finally here where we get to meet her.
Well, I feel
her.
Like a lot of that was just like, one, being extremely tired because we only slept like 36 hours, and two, mm-hmm. you had a like somewhat difficult labor.
Mm-hmm.
It was finally just like a relief thing. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, she's here. The hardest part is maybe out of the way. But you don't sleep for like a month. And
yeah.
In our case, a month, I guess. But
yeah, that leads literally into the next question. This poor girl was like, my baby is 2 weeks old. Will I ever sleep again? Yeah.
You will absolutely sleep again. Mm-hmm. We have talked about this a lot. The days are long.
Yeah, you were saying that.
The minutes are long. But the weeks and the months fly by. That does not make it any easier. If you do have a fussy baby, I honestly, my heart goes out to you because it is really hard. Reach out to the people that you are comfortable like venting to. Ask for help. Do not be afraid to be mm-hmm. honest with your about your feelings. And nothing wrong with asking for help. You need to take time. You just birthed a human. Mm-hmm. Like, you also need to recover. But yeah, you will sleep again. It does get better. It goes by really fast. It does.
Mm-hmm. It's a blur. Honestly,
it is a blur.
I can't.
I know. I was telling remember. Zach. I was like, when I looked through my phone at pictures of Marla when she was a newborn, I was like, those days are a blur. Like, I could not yeah. remember for the life of me, like, how she was like. Because I was like, I was just surviving. Purely surviving.
Emmy's bad, like, new, like, brand newborn stage. She started sleeping through the night at, like, 6 or 8 weeks. And it was good for 2 months. And then that 4 month sleep regression hit. It, which, honestly, some babies sleep, like, that doesn't affect them at all. But I feel like that those first 4 to 6 weeks are really the hardest mm-hmm. part. And you're working for them on the clock. Yeah. So mm-hmm. the time does go by. You can do it. You're doing amazing.
Well, they also have like their days and nights mixed up right away. Yep. So that's probably what you're going through right now. Yeah. Like, they literally sleep all day. Mm-hmm. And then at yeah. night, they're like, oh no, we're ready. We're yeah. ready to eat every 45 minutes. And you're going to stay up with me.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a great night.
Well, I remember like the first month probably. I'd be fine all day. Like, it wasn't too bad, like, taking care of Marlo because, mm-hmm. like, you'd feed her.
Her wake windows would be, like, 10 minutes.
She'd sleep most of the day, but then all of a sudden, like, something about, like, 7 p.m. would roll on, and I would just get so nervous. Like, Friday night football, like, butterflies in my belly, like, nervous for, like, what was about to happen at night.
And my mom was still here. So she was here, and she's like, I can spend a night shift with the baby if you need me to. And we're like, no, it's fine. Like, we felt bad because we knew she'd be up so much. But every night at, like, 6, 7 p.m., me and Zach would just feel sick and, like, be like, oh, another night, like, this is gonna be rough, like, because you just know you're gonna get like 2 hours of sleep.
I told Chris that I was like, I hate the nights right now when we were in that phase mm-hmm. because
4 months
even before that, because I was still I tore, I had stitches mm-hmm. trying to breastfeed her in the middle of the night in bed. I was so uncomfortable, even though I had the bassinet right there, like, getting her back to bed was always really hard, and I was like, I hate the nights right now. And then they got better. And then I hated the nights again around 4 months.
Yeah. And one other thing, like, the anxiety people don't talk about too much. Like, we had a family friend of ours who 2 weeks-ish before Kelly gave birth had a 6-month-old baby die of SIDS.
Oh, my gosh.
Just went down for a nap and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is
so
terrifying.
The first three nights, we took shifts.
Yeah, we did. She slept great, but we just took shifts staying awake because
just like monitoring.
Oh, we were paranoid.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
paranoid.
How we were too. Like, we're watching like chest elevation.
Yep.
And, well, and we had the outlet sock for a little bit.
We couldn't get it to fit the first couple nights because we were stupid.
Yeah. Well, the first like 2 weeks, Marlo wouldn't sleep unless she was on my chest. So I slept in the recliner, which I know is not safe. Don't come at me. I was desperate for sleep. I also couldn't lay down in a bed with my C-section scar. And the incision was still, like, so fresh and so tight, like, it hurt to lay down flat, so I had to sleep in the recliner. And Marla was like, I would set her down in the bassinet, scream.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, heck no. I'll just hold you all night. That's fine. Yeah. If I can get an hour of sleep,
plenty
whatever.
Of those nights over here, too.
Yep, we had a lot of those.
And you're just willing to do anything for literally a little bit of sleep.
Well, and I feel like that's the other thing. It's like, yes, that is not the safest position for your baby, but it's also not safe for your baby to be with parents who haven't slept in mm-hmm. days.
So. For sure.
Yeah. You just got to do what's best for you and your family and make it through.
It does get better, though. We're both here to tell you. We both 100%. Laid our babies down at 6:30 tonight, mm-hmm. and they're in their rooms, and they're great.
They're doing great.
They're fed. Mm-hmm. Their bellies are full. Mm-hmm. Everything's wonderful. And they fuss
for, like, 5 minutes max.
Not even. Like, not they'll even. Be, like, crying as soon as we put them down, and within 30 seconds, they're out. Both so tired, they're out, because yeah. we tire them out right before bed, and it's great.
And that is one thing about the sleep. I know 2 weeks is a little bit too young for this, mm-hmm. but it really does pay to tire your baby out, play with them, tummy time a lot before bed, because
that's like the key is mm-hmm. quality playtime. Because if you're just like kind of letting them sit around doing nothing, I feel like it doesn't really stimulate their brain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the more you can like play with them and read books to them and talk do things with them, especially before bed.
Even if you don't have the energy to physically play with them, walk around outside.
Fresh air.
It drains them because there's all these new things to look at.
Trees. Yeah.
And if you have a fussy baby, it usually helps them not
That's
scream.
What we had to do for witching hour, because at first I was like, why is my baby, like, we thought she had colic, but then we knew that you guys suffered with that, and, like, she was nowhere near, like, Emmy's, like, you know, fussiness, mm-hmm. and every night at, like, 5 p.m., she would just be so, like fussy, gassy, just everything would go wrong from 5 to 7.
Yep.
And the only way that I could get her to be calm was contact naps during that time, or going outside with the carrier on, walking outside.
Yep.
So it was rough, but it gets better.
We're both here to tell you that. I feel like it just keeps getting better as they get older, honestly.
I feel like one of the bigger game changers for us too was like following age appropriate like wake windows too. Mm-hmm. And I know there's like a lot of discrepancy on like, you know, how long they should be depending on the source, but
which sometimes it's hard because you follow like the wake windows that somebody recommends, but honestly, every baby is so different.
Yeah.
Sleepy cues are so important. Like some days Marlo's wake windows will be like an hour and 30 minutes. Sometimes they'll be like 2 hours. It just like depends. So you don't want to be super strict on those, because I feel like some days are just different. And that's just how we are too as adults.
Yeah. You know? Tired turns to overtired so quick. And then good luck, you know?
Yeah. That's it's not like us where we can fall asleep. Like, if you're overtired, isn't it? Oh,
yeah.
They just like fight it. I don't know if it's just confusion to them or what, but.
Yeah. That's the other thing I feel like with parenting, you learn to be just like, never say never. Like, you might go into parenting like, I'm never going to do this. This is going to be my style of parenting. And depending on the kind of baby, the kind of situations you're in, like, you kind of go into it with more of an open mind.
100%.
And I feel like you have to give yourself more grace. You have to give your baby more grace. You're learning. Every baby's different. And yeah, I just feel like you have to go into it with more of an open mind. And that's one thing that I think that's a positive personally, because going back to the control thing, you have very little.
Well, you just wind up doing whatever it takes.
Exactly.
Like, it's not a matter of how you're getting
there. Well, not what's best for you and what you want, but what works best for your baby.
Mm-hmm. Well, and at the beginning, I just couldn't fathom the fact that, like, my baby would be eventually sleeping, like, in a crib. Like, in their own room. And so I was like, my baby's going to sleep with me all night. Like, I'm going to co-sleep for sure. Like, I don't want this baby leaving my side, because you're just like, I want to protect you at all costs. I want to make sure you're breathing every waking second, even if I don't get sleep. And so, like, the first couple weeks, that's all that we would have to do to get her to sleep. But she just wanted to be right next to me so that she could breastfeed whenever she wanted to, whatever. And yeah, I know whatever people will come at me, say whatever they want, but to each their own, truly.
Mm-hmm.
But now that she's sleeping in her own bed, I'm like, how did we have her in our room for so long? And we didn't even have her in our room for so long. We had her in our room for, what, 3 months? Not even? 2.5?
She was born on December 2nd. She moved, like,
end of February.
Middle of February, yeah. Like,
yeah. And it was the best decision, because our room lets in a little bit too much light. Mm-hmm. So she would wake up, and she'd also hear us get ready for bed and stuff like that. And
well, even when you're trying to be quiet, like, you can't be perfectly quiet.
Mm-hmm. Now that she's in her room, we can, like, enjoy the night by ourselves and then go to bed ourselves without...
Well, it's better for her,
brush
too.
Our teeth.
Yeah, you're not...
Not that she's a detriment or a drag, Bailey. I mean, like, enjoy. Like, oh, finally she's...
Oh, no.
But, like...
But...
Carry on with, like, our normal, like, day-to-day.
Well, you can't... The biggest thing for me, since Emmy going to sleep in her own room, I don't have to be, like, super quiet brushing my teeth before bed.
Yeah.
I don't have to tiptoe around and getting dressed in the dark, exactly, because I go to my workout class early and I'm like, it would take me an extra 10 minutes to get ready because I was moving like a snail.
Mm-hmm. Or doing like the flashlight trick where you're like kind of holding it. So it's like not letting too much light on the phone.
Exactly. I think Zach was most excited about the fact that we don't need a like freight train sound in our room all night. Like her noise machine is so loud and we're both like, we're weirdos in the sense that we don't really need white noise to sleep. Mm-hmm. Like a fan every once in a while, but we don't need it like blasted like she does. Mm-hmm. So the first night I remember when we moved her into her room, it was so peaceful and so quiet in our room. And me and Zach were like,
something felt off.
This does not feel right. Like, it feels weird. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to sleep.
Yeah.
But we slept great.
Yeah. So did Marlo.
Yeah, literally. Okay, let's see. What's a newborn struggle that's not acknowledged enough?
Oh, that's a good question.
I would say, this is like really dumb and not serious at all, but no one prepares you for how often a baby gets hiccups.
Mm.
That might just be us, but like,
I didn't know that either. Like, I'm like, is our baby broken? Because after every feed, she would get hiccups.
Yeah. Or if she like gasped and like took in too much air or something like that. Like it was like, oh, here comes the hiccups.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Anytime she would cry.
Yeah.
Hiccups.
And like right away it was like 10 times a day it felt like.
And we always told our pediatrician, we're like, is it normal? And he's like, yeah, it's totally fine. Like they're still developing, blah, blah, blah. And Zach's like, are you sure though? Like, and he's like, it bothers you more than it does them. Because it's annoying. Like, it's just like, are you uncomfortable?
Because it sounds like you're uncomfortable. It's like, you get them all the time. Like, what do you guys think?
It's a tough one. I don't really follow a lot of moms or, like, new parents. I don't really know what is the common talks about.
I don't
want
to speak for you, but I feel like a lot of people don't know what it's like to have an actually colicky baby.
That was definitely the hardest part for sure. The reflux was hard. Like I had heard people always talk about reflux, but I didn't know what that all entailed or what it looked like. And she got hiccups every time after she spit up, on top of screaming, crying. The girl was taking in so much air, which then led to gas. Mm-hmm. And it was just like this whole, I just felt like we were in a hamster wheel and we're constantly chasing one issue and then she'd get overtired.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't know.
There's one. On the lighter side, laundry.
Oh, my gosh.
Especially with our baby who spit up a lot. We had mounds of...
stained everything.
You know, burp cloths in every room.
Breast milk stains. You have to be quick. You have to, like, treat it right away. I didn't know that right away, so, like, a bunch of stuff got stained.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the other thing. It's a little separate from a newborn, but still breastfeeding. Like, I was prepared for breastfeeding to probably be more challenging than I realized. I was not prepared for how challenging it was or could be and just how different everyone's experience is.
My nipples were bloody.
Well, wow. I don't want to speak for you, Bailey, but like you knew like the childbirthing process would be difficult and this isn't necessarily a newborn thing, but it kind of is. You convinced yourself like straight up that you had like mastitis.
Yeah, no one told me how painful it was. When your milk comes in, your boobs get rock hard. And, like, no matter how much you pump or feed, they are still hard.
But, see, that's the thing. Like, mine were rock hard, and mine were painful. But mine, there's no way they were nearly as painful as yours. They didn't bother me that much.
Oh, my gosh. I convinced myself I had a clogged duct, mastitis, everything. Yeah. And I was beside myself. My mom was here, thankfully. And she was trying to talk me off the ledge. And then Zach was trying to, you know, try to talk me off the ledge. And I just went into our bathroom and showered, bawled my eyes out, had like two hakas on my boobs because everybody was saying, put Epsom salt baths or whatever in your boobs and whatever.
Stuff that doesn't work.
No.
Whatever. I was doing all the things, like massaging them. I was crying because it hurt so bad. And then finally my doula was like, it's normal to be engorged and hard for a couple days. Your milk is coming in. Like everything's regulating. I was like, okay, like this is normal. I don't need to freak out and think that I'm going to die because everybody like I Google searched it and it was like you could die and develop an infection. I was like, okay, lovely. I'm sepsis. Gonna leave my literal newborn scenario. At home with my like no this
with
is
your
terrible.
Husband that does not know how to take care of a child. Well,
does not change a diaper.
That was the other, I mean, this is once again not quite like newborn. Well, two things. You mentioned the birthing process, and this is on the lighter side. I was excited to not be pregnant anymore, but I was very nervous about how it was going to feel. I knew I wanted an epidural, but I still wasn't sure how that would feel. We were both shocked. And I know this is not everyone's experience. Epidurals don't work for everybody. Obviously, natural birth is very different than having an epidural. But I was shocked at how smooth that went. Like, once I did get it, how little pain I felt and how amazing the nurses were. Like, everyone always talks about how amazing they are. But they truly are amazing.
I can also agree. I
was shocked by that.
One other thing about the epidural is it did take a while to get it, though.
Oh, that's not normal. Everyone told me it wasn't normal.
It wasn't normal. So Kelly had to finish a bag of saline, like a full bag, mm-hmm. before they even start, like,
for
started
her blood
prepping.
Pressure,
yeah.
Probably.
So.
And that was the other thing I was actually going to hit on. I had really high blood pressure at the end, and postpartum preeclampsia is way more popular now for whatever reason than mm-hmm. it ever was before. And so I was monitoring my blood pressure multiple times a day, and mm-hmm. I felt like trash. And it was just, I went and saw my doctor, and she was like, oh, well, everything else is fine. So, and it was
There's
kind
no
of
protein in your urine.
Yeah, there was no protein in my urine. And it was trending down. So she was like, it's probably just your body trying to get rid of all the extra fluid. Mm-hmm. So I kept testing, and it was that, and I was not prepared for that at mm-hmm. all. No one had talked about that, which I know not everyone experiences it, but it's just, there's a lot.
There's sure. a lot. And I can agree with the epidural. I obviously wanted, like, I plan on having a natural, unmedicated birth. Obviously, I got the exact opposite of that, but that's okay. I ended up having to get induced, and my whole birth story is on the blog and everything. And I've talked about it a couple times, but I ended up having to, you know, have Pitocin, and those contractions are a whole new level than, you know, natural contractions, which those are obviously painful too, but I was having coupling, so contraction after contraction without any rest, and it just became to the point where I was like, I can't do this anymore. And then I got the epidural. I was like, why did I wait so long for that? That was God's gift, truly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was amazing. It didn't hurt at all. Like, no. I was shocked because everyone's like tries to scare you into saying that it's going to be so miserable, they're going to damage your spine, and you're going to be pretty much paralyzed.
We both got some sleep.
I had back labor, and what I didn't get any Pitocin. I was dilating really quickly, mm-hmm. and I was my epidural did hurt, but it wasn't the epidural. I had it.
You had back labor, that probably hurt.
I had a contraction. She did great, but she was so slow. Mm-hmm. And I ended up having a contraction right as she started, and I was shaking uncontrollably from the pain before I got it. So she's like, okay, try to stay still. So between the shaking and the contraction, I think the contraction right before that, I told Chris for the first time. I was like, I don't think I can do this.
Kelly, before she got it, she was also standing for her contractions because that would feel better. And I was like pushing on her hips.
We were trying to get the baby to move.
Blood falling down. I had to go talk to the nurse like three times. Like, are you sure? She's supposed to be just bleeding on the ground right now.
I was just dilating really quickly. Yeah.
That would be alarming.
I asked her like three times, and I was like, you like come have her look at this,
yeah.
because I am like, if something's got to be wrong with her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really scary. But birth.
And the lady next door got to the hospital about 5 minutes before she started pushing, and it was the most blood-curdling screams I've ever heard in my life, which was also terrifying.
But yeah. She was like, they were like, oh my gosh, yeah, she's super happy with her baby over there. Those three screams you heard, that was the baby coming out. Now she's like totally fine. I'm like, wow, women are incredible.
I've heard some women say, like, you don't forget the pain, but I can't remember what the line was, but it was,
I don't know. I mean, you
kind of do.
You do kind of forget. Like, you remember the experience, but you don't remember the pain.
And mm-hmm. I think that's literally like nature's way of being like,
absolutely.
You need to have more kids.
Oh,
if you could
like remember that kind of pain, there's no chance you'd be like, yeah,
that,
sure, let's do it again.
Yeah.
Definitely had a traumatic birth experience, and it was painful mm-hmm. and shitty, but like
worth it
for sure. All right, I think we will go on to the next question, which is how to keep our marriage alive after becoming parents, and like how to get out of that roommate phase, because we all go through it.
Yeah, I'm not afraid to say Chris and I were in that roommate phase for a long time, and like to the point where we would joke about it. And like, I don't want to just be a roommate. It goes back to, I think, just like bare minimum, asking the other person what, if you feel like you're seen and respected and you're like attended to by your significant other, I think that just, that's the foundation, because it fixes mm-hmm. your attraction to them. Mm-hmm. And I know some people think like love languages are silly, but mm-hmm. knowing yeah. what their love language is, because then you don't even have to ask, you know how to show up mm-hmm. for them. And that's attractive to the other person. If I see Chris start cleaning the kitchen and vacuuming, cleaning the floors, I'm like, oh, damn, okay.
we had to have this conversation yeah. because
we had Kelly multiple times had, trying to figure know, out.
Hormone imbalance.
Oh, my I'm guys, over I here had zero sex drive.
I was well, on. I've read about that. That is zero. Natural for breastfeeding well, because you
go into a menopausal state. Yeah. Menopausal
it's,
state.
It's a built-in mechanism so you don't get pregnant because you're not ready to. Oh, so you don't yeah. have a sex drive while you're breastfeeding and while you're not healed
yeah.
because you're like, no way should you have a baby right
Mine
now.
Mine was negative. Mm-hmm. And I told him so many times, I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, I literally, it's not you. Nothing in me is interested.
When sorry. You're so touched out from the day too, well, and you're just like.
Yeah, going back, she was also, she was draining. I mean, we didn't have any energy left.
But
yeah.
at the same time, I was on TRT because my testosterone was plummeting. And I was at the highest libido in my life. So it was
just, like, let's go.
So we had to talk. And it didn't matter how I looked. Kelly's like, you look great, but you need to do some other stuff to get this thing going.
So Chris was standing on a street corner in downtown Columbus.
Yeah, exactly.
Zach.
No. No. So Chris was scrubbing the floors, folding yeah. laundry.
Doing anything to
so
get.
That's when I started doing more chores.
Yeah.
There you go.
If you can't tell, my love language is acts of service and quality time. But yeah.
Well, and I don't know if Kelly can attest to this, but I'm very much so like, emotional, like when it comes to, I don't know, trying to keep the fire alive. Yeah, keep the
heat.
You
need romance?
I need like to feel loved. I need to feel appreciated. Absolutely. I need to feel like the whole day kind of needs to be like a good day in order yeah. for me to like want to do anything at night, because I'm like, if you treated me like crap during the day or...
Okay, come on.
Okay, no, but not even like treat me like crap, but like if we don't have like
if
that...
If you had
like,
a rough day.
Yeah, if we had a rough day or...
Thank you, Kelly.
If...
treating me like crap.
Or if like, you know, if we don't hug at all during the day or kiss at all during the day or like check in on each other during the day, then I'm like... Okay, at night you want this? Oh, no.
Yeah, no.
Like, yeah. He's very much so a person, and I feel like all guys are like this, where you could touch him, and he's ready.
When the sun goes down.
But, like, us, we need that, like, emotional,
yeah, no, it's like,
it's
a build-up through the day.
Yes. It's not like a, oh, you can touch my leg, mm-hmm. and
yeah, no, I'm
ready
like,
to go.
Based on how the day went, get your hand off yeah. me, actually.
I have a headache. My tummy hurts.
Yeah.
We'll always have each other, Chris.
No, that is hard, but I do think just going back to the fundamentals, if you're really struggling, which, once again, Chris and I were really struggling there for a little bit, not anything that we were, like, worried about long-term, but it was just a season that we knew mm-hmm. was not ideal for either of us, and you have to go back to the basics of, like, okay, well, how do we start making this better? What can you do for me? How can I help you during the day? And what do you appreciate? What do you find attractive right now? Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, can't yeah. be afraid to ask those questions.
And we've done it before. We've mm-hmm. been together for so long. We've been through that roommate stage before.
You go through different seasons
yeah.
of life.
Yeah, work through it. Get out of it. Talk. Like, communication. I know it's very cliche to say.
But it's cliche communication for a reason. Is big. Without that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something that I think that's helped us recently, within, like, last month, like, things haven't been rocky for a while. Like, maybe a couple months, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
We had, like, a rough
It was just a new adjustment.
But Bailey's sister moved to St. George, like, a month ago. And it's only happened a couple times, but in those couple of times, one being last night when we got to go do something as two couples, mm-hmm. like, just, like, not regaining a sense of normalcy, I guess, but, like, doing things that you used to do mm-hmm. before mm-hmm. a
Absolutely.
Child was involved really helped.
Like, things that you, like, love to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, treating yourself.
Mm-hmm. Without a baby.
You know?
Yeah. Like, sometimes, I love bringing her with. Like, I
yeah.
love mm-hmm. going to restaurants and, you know, doing things with her. Yeah. But there, you need to spend time away from your baby. Whether it be with each other or even by yourself. Like, I feel like that's so healthy. And,
mm-hmm.
like, last night was, like, so much fun because mm-hmm. we didn't have to worry about our babies.
Mm-hmm.
They were in bed. Everything was great.
Also, the easiest way to get a babysitter. like do some, plan something for after your baby's asleep, so you don't have to stress about, well, what if they're not doing everything like I would want them to do? They're asleep. Yeah. They're just sitting there making sure everything's fine.
Yeah.
Especially if the baby's to a point in their sleep, like
where you don't have to worry about them waking up, yeah, you know, an hour after laying down.
Like, mm-hmm. if they wake up and fuss, like it's okay, like they can put themselves back down. Mm-hmm. Like,
and if you don't have that changer. Sorry.
Well,
you'll get there.
There are problems that we can't solve. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. But it'll happen eventually.
That's something that we've implemented for a while. And that's something that I think has why we are doing so well now, is because after we get Emmy to bed, it is like, you got the volleyball, we're going, or the football or something, we go outside.
I love watching those stories of you guys hitting
them. We're out there for like 20 minutes. And I mean, I speed them up, but we are laughing so mm-hmm. much. We have so much fun. And it's literally 20 minutes mm-hmm. of us just being outside. We used to do that all the time before Emmy. And then we go downstairs. Chris has our popcorn bowls ready.
Our Worth It Candy.
Seriously, though, we watch a couple shows. Then he gets to work. I work for a little bit. I go to bed. It's like the perfect end cap to the night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those of you like wondering if this ends like the tough days, they do.
It absolutely does.
This too shall pass.
Mm-hmm. But in the thick of it, you really do think that it never will get better.
It will never end.
Yeah.
Don't feel guilty for thinking that.
Yeah. You know,
because.
And that leads me into the next question. Somebody was like, did you ever think you wanted 4+ kids, but then now like, or in the thick of it, you're like, no, one's good. And I'm like, yeah, that, mm-hmm. that literally exactly has happened before mm-hmm. where Zach and I in the middle of the night Zach has looked at me and been like, one is good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's very normal. It's gotta be because everyone I've talked to mm-hmm. has that.
But it's already, it's already getting better. And Marlo's only 5 months and you guys even say, I mean, it's 10 months.
I was going to say, so and you know better. How, I mean, I've been very honest with everybody mm-hmm. about my experience because I feel like there's really no harm in being honest. It mm-hmm. hopefully helps people. And it helps me more than anything because I share and then people are like, I went through the same thing. And I'm like,
makes you feel less alone.
Okay, it's not mm-hmm. me. It's not her. It's just like,
normal.
It's normal. I forget what we were talking about. the guiltiness.
The guilty.
Chris and I both came from big families. He had 5 kids in his family. It was 4 in mine. And Chris always said he wanted a basketball team. Zach, I'm pretty sure. I remember Bailey saying you were the same.
I wanted a lot of kids. And not that that's necessarily changed, but you kind of learn to pump the brakes.
Yeah,
one at a time.
Maybe one at a time.
Yeah, because I'm like, we wanted 5 kids?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Like,
and who knows? We might get to that point someday. Yeah. But
and we really want to have one of each. So, I think that God will give us, 4 girls.
Bare minimum.
And then on the last one, we'll try one more time, and then we'll get a boy, on the 5th.
That's my family.
That's my prediction. So, we're gonna come to this.
Yeah.
We're going to come back to this and see if I predicted right.
I always said 4 was too much because I had 4 in my family. But 3 always sounded good, and Chris was always like 1 or 2 or 3 more than that. And when Emmy was really struggling, I was like, oh, yeah, I don't know. Maybe an only child is fine. But now I'm at the point where I'm like, I mean, yes, one at a time, but also watching her, she's learning so much right now. And even she had a hard day today. She was very fussy today. Mm-hmm. We were laying in or just playing with her before bedtime. He's like, oh, watching her little brain work. She's playing
with
this book.
Books.
She's reading a book all by herself. Obviously not
never.
Reading,
but she's
reading it out loud. Every word.
She was flipping through she's a genius. She was flipping through the book all by herself and having so much fun and I mean, going from seeing them literally
she said my
just,
name almost today.
I know, laying there just drooling to being this tiny Marlo. Little human with her mind work. It's just, it's amazing. And so going from how fussy she was and being like, man, I don't know if I want to do this again. This is really hard. Now I'm like,
it's totally
I could honestly see maybe 4, maybe more. I just taking it one at a time, mm-hmm. obviously.
Yeah.
And we want to do it smart financially.
Two.
And
yeah,
but it goes the other way too. I could see wanting more now just because it is amazing to watch something that you created with your partner
mm-hmm.
grow into this little person. And I always think about not just them as small and being 100% responsible for everything going on, but when you go to have family game nights or have a bonfire with your mm-hmm. siblings mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh my gosh.
It'd be so fun to have 4 of them.
Yeah, yeah. And think of when they're in their 20s and mm-hmm. telling you about everything they have, watch them live out their life. It literally makes me emotional
and then they
think
have
about
kids
I get
and
yeah. I just I don't know. I think that it's so cool.
Yeah, we will for sure be taking it one at a time. We for sure want two. If we have a boy the next time, who knows? I think three, I don't know, like Zach said, one at a time, we don't know. I think it also depends on if I have a C-section again, because I don't know if I can go through the C-section like multiple times. Like I really want a VBAC, so if I do have that, I think that will change like how I view, you know, future pregnancies. But I feel like if I continuously have to have C-section after C-section after C-section, I'll be more apt to be like, probably not. So,
which makes total sense.
All right. I think the last question is advice for someone who's on the advice for someone who is on the fence about having kids. What's our verdict about having kids, and is the exhaustion and expenses of having a child worth it?
Absolutely worth it.
I do highly recommend, if you can, getting into a place financially where you have that ready to go. Like you don't have to worry about the extra expenses, buying diapers, like
that added stress on a relationship, that point, I think would be so tough with everything else you're
already
going
through. We've
been
blessed to be able to not have to really worry about those extra expenses. Yes, it is expensive, but that part, if you have that down, 100% worth it.
Even with that though, like if you can, I think that's awesome. And if you maybe aren't in that position.
Yeah.
My parents weren't when they started having kids, and you just make it work. That's what my mom always said. Like, I ask her now, I'm like, how did you afford to take us all to Disney? And she's like, it's something I wanted to do. And you find a way to make it work.
Totally.
And you learn to appreciate, like, it's not all about, you know, all like the fancy things.
Sorry, our dog's back out.
He's in Marlo's little playmat.
I think it's absolutely worth it.
I would have to agree. Yeah. I think just like, obviously at the beginning it's really tough, but the more that you see them like grow and develop and learn new things, you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, and we created this. Mm-hmm. I think that's the coolest part, is like, she literally was a little blueberry or a little poppy seed, I think, at like week 5.
Yeah.
And she's like this big chunky little like 16 and a half pound bundle of joy that like brings so much happiness to our life. And obviously, like, kids aren't for everyone, and that's totally okay. So I think the biggest thing is just sitting down with, you know, your significant other and going over, you know, like,
what you want. Asking this question, they're probably in a position where they want kids.
But they're on the fence. So, like, it's like, I think you need to have, like, the honest conversation with your partner, too, about, you know, like, when you'd want to have kids. And things are going to change when you have kids. You won't be able to, you know, do the things that you necessarily love to do right away. You're going to have to make a little bit of sacrifice, but then it gets better.
Yeah.
The one thing, I'm sorry, you can go.
Go ahead.
Chris has actually talked to me a lot about this, and it makes me sad. There's a lot of TikTok videos of people just kind of like shitting on people who have kids and how they lose all their freedom. And I just want to say to that, like, yes, you do for a little bit, that you 100% do, but you get it back. It's not like it's gone for forever. And although it does change relationships and there is hard times, I feel like all the best things come out of challenges and the hard times. And so if your biggest worry is like, oh, well, I want to be able to travel and I want my freedom. You can still travel.
It's just a little harder.
It's a little harder. Like, just not even harder. It just requires more planning, honestly. And then the freedom part, you get it back, and you get it back, I think, probably sooner than you'll even want to.
And when you're more financially stable,
exactly. So it's like, don't make your decision based off of that. It bums me out. Chris shows me videos and tells me about them, and it honestly makes me sad. If you don't want kids, that's awesome for you. Like, honestly, whatever. But if you're someone who you think you would want them, and you just see people, and you're like, oh, like, I guess maybe not, it would bum me out for someone to choose not to just because they think their whole life is over, because that's not the case.
Yeah. It does feel like that, though. I will say that at the beginning, it feels like that. So, like, you will be like, what? I made a mistake.
Yeah, you're like, what did I do?
Literally, like, we should have waited. Like, literally, we had those thoughts. Like, we were like, holy crap, like, did we make a mistake in trying and like having a baby this early? And I feel guilty for even saying that, but it's true. Like, it's pure survival mode. And I feel like the things that you see on social media sometimes doesn't always like portray that, because you see all these beautiful Instagram, you know, fitspos, bloggers, whatever, and they show the beauties of parenthood and not necessarily the bad days. And like, it makes you be like, oh, like, that's what it should look like. And then you have your baby, like, holy, like, that is not what my postpartum looked like. Mm-hmm. I was struggling. Yeah. We were struggling. And that's really hard. But, and even our friend, like, our friend Megan, mm-hmm. Her and her husband, they have 5 kids. And their life, I feel like, is just filled with so much joy because all their kids are older. And they get to have so much fun with them. Like, they go swimming. They do all these fun things. And, like, I feel like they still have the freedom to go and... They just went on a cruise. Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
We just had dinner with them last night.
Like, it doesn't... It makes your life harder for a little bit, but not forever.
Mm-hmm. So one thing I heard, which I really latched onto, was talking with some parents who have been through it. You know, their kids are grown. They say... Yes, happiness may be hard to come by at times, but you always feel fulfilled. And I think that fulfillment is just as important, if not more, than being quote-unquote happy. Because happy goes away. Mm-hmm. You know, it comes back and goes away. But being fulfilled, like, I can't tell you, I'm becoming emotional, how much Emmy has fulfilled and really, mm-hmm. like...
Added value to your life.
It's,
and purpose.
Yes.
And I feel like, I don't know, this you probably do the same thing. Like, every night you kind of look forward to when you put them down because you get finally a little mm-hmm. bit of time, uninterrupted, peaceful, quiet time to yourself. But then in the same sense, an hour into that time, you find yourself scrolling through pictures and videos of your baby.
Yeah.
And then in the morning, you're just so excited to see them. And it's like a brand new fresh start mm-hmm. every single day. And well, you have rough nights that aren't fresh starts necessarily. But overall, like, it's just so... crazy how unique and how amazing this journey is.
Yeah.
Something that I could have never, ever imagined. No.
She struggled with sleep for a long time. And now that she's sleeping better, we'll get in from playing volleyball. And Chris is like, I want to go get her. Can she sleep with us tonight? I'm like, oh my gosh, no. No, she's sleeping in there. We will go give her all the cuddles in the morning.
I love that she sleeps in her own bed, but I, like, can't wait for the days that she's actually a little bit older where she can come cuddle. Or, like, yeah, she's done sleeping in the morning and they're like, Mom, Dad, jumping out of bed. Maybe, I don't know, like, I don't know how that'll look like, but I just see it in movies and I'm like, oh, that's so cute. Because right now, like, I force her to cuddle with me.
Yeah,
she has no option. Like, I'm like, hug me. I literally take her little arms and I'm like, wrap them around my neck. I'm like, hug Mommy. So I can't wait for the day that she actually wants to hug.
I know. Oh, gosh.
Well, that was a good episode. That was, like, our longest one yet, but I feel like we did perfect. I don't even think I'm going to have to edit this. It was so good. So I'm really glad you guys were able to join us for this episode. I think people are really going to enjoy it, and I feel like we were really raw and honest and vulnerable.
That's all the stuff that we've been talking about since we've been here.
Well, that's another thing, too. Like, I feel like once you have a kid, this might be completely different for you guys, but, like, your friend group kind of changes and it, like, evolves into people that are also, like, the same boat as you because mm-hmm. there's just, like, so much, like, that you can relate on.
When we have friends, and we were talking about this on our walk, that are older than us. Like, we don't have a lot of younger friends. We have friends that are, like, in their 40s.
Age means nothing after you have a baby, I feel like. We have people that we are, like, you guys are, honestly, you're younger than us, but then we have friends who are 10 years older than us, and the relationship is the exact same.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Wild because you're all going through similar things. Like, you relate on so many levels. Age has nothing to do with
it. Well, and I feel like at the end of the day, you just want to find people that just, I don't know, bring out the best in you and also accept you for who you are, regardless of how old you are.
Absolutely.
And I love that because our older friends are, like I said, 10, 20 years older than us, but they still treat us like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Same values.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love it. So I love that we're friends with you guys.
You guys have been
a big blessing in our lives and, you know, a couple that we look up to for, you know, marriage. We always talk about that. We're like, what couple do we look up to? Because you always want to have, like, somebody to look up to when it comes to marriage. And both of our parents are divorced and no hate to our parents or anything. But it's just something that we've struggled with, you know, as a couple, trying to find somebody or a couple to look up to and kind of have to, I don't know, be...
I think what you're trying to say is, like, emulate.
Emulate.
Mm-hmm.
Zach's better with words. And you guys are that for us.
Well,
so
thank you.
We love y'all. Yeah. And we wish you live closer.
So. I know.
Maybe.
You never know.
We did live a little closer and then we moved.
If we can't get a swig in Columbus, Chris might be like, listen, it's time.
Literally. Gosh. We were both talking about this. Like, if we could only get our families to move down here and, like, have both sides of our families always down here and then together, be together.
I know. Mm-hmm.
It'd be perfect.
And we love Columbus.
We do.
But.
Columbus has great food.
Oh, yes. You guys, the food.
Columbus is awesome. It's so good. Like, walking through the neighborhood, seeing the mountains and just all that you can do.
You came at the perfect time.
I know, right?
I was going to say, in another month, two months later, you'd be like, no!
It's like an oven.
And the heat isn't unbearable here. Like, you can still be outside. I much prefer, like, desert heat over, like, Florida heat.
Oh, gosh, Florida heat.
Ooh. 100%. Because you can at least stay somewhat dry in desert heat.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, in Florida, like, you're wet all the time.
Even if it's 90, yeah, you walk outside and you're like, why did I even shower? Yeah.
Like, you have to shower, like, 4 times a day, it feels like, when you're, like, on vacation in Florida.
Yeah, here you get wet and you dry off because it's so hot and dry.
But we'll see. Where can people find you guys on Instagram, like, your business and then personal pages?
Business is Worth It Candy on Instagram, worthitcandy.com. If you want to subscribe, we told you about the sour. We have other things that we've been working on for quite a while. Subscribers always hear about that stuff first. Mm-hmm. And then my Instagram is Kaylin Yeager. It's not Clint. My name is indeed Kelly. Kaylin Yeager and Kelly Yeager on YouTube. If you enjoy vlogs, Lululemon hauls, other activewear hauls. Yeah, Worth It Candy, Kaylin Yeager.
Beautiful.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you guys
so much for having me. This was Chris's first podcast.
He was very nervous. You did great.
You did so good.
You're natural.
You're, yeah.
My love language is
words of affirmation.
So keep giving it to him.
I think we're honestly going to have to like do this like more regularly. Not like where we have to be in person, but like, you know.
Yeah, we could have you guys on again.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It's fun.
After you launched your new product.
Yeah.
Which we can't talk about, but they're really exciting, and I get to try them soon. So.
Yes.
So does Zach, but.
Yeah. I'm excited. I love candy, too.
Zach's like, a big candy.
Chris and I are very similar. Also, like, very bad on that for each other because it's very enabling in the sense that, like, hey, you want to.
It's good that you're starting your diet when we leave.
Yeah. We talked each other into muffin tops this morning. 600 calories.
Literally, they're so good though.
I ate all one. It was fantastic.
Yeah. And then my dessert that wasn't even coffee that I couldn't finish because it was too sweet.
The caramelizer.
Yeah.
My breakfast was 1,000 calories of sugar.
I still kind of feel sick from this.
Well, we literally played pickleball for 2 hours last night.
Yeah.
I couldn't walk this morning. I wore shoes that had really bad arch support. And I think I, like, did something to my knee yesterday. And my heels felt like they were broken.
I think it's fair to say all of us are struggling.
Yeah, Zach, before bed, was like, okay, guys, we're going to work out tomorrow. We're going to do squat day. This morning, we all woke up, like crippled. Like, literally walking. Like,
I can't get out of bed without, like...
Zach's like, my back is all locked up.
It is.
Oh, it was rough, but tomorrow, right?
Worth it.
One more last workout together before the Vogels hold up. Yep, they leave us tomorrow and head back to Columbus. So thank you guys again, and we will definitely have them back on the podcast. And if you listened this far, it's 1 hour and 22 minutes.
Right?
You're the real MVP, and we're so thankful for you. Hopefully you're on your way to work or you're working out right now and you're having a great workout or driving there safely. So we thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.